The Business News Hour is supported by the certified public accountants at Shaw and Desmond, looking beyond the numbers for you and your business. ShawandDesmond.com and Insight Advertising, connecting businesses with consumers at InsightCubed.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're grateful that you're along for the ride this afternoon. With us is Jay Steinmetz. He is the Chief Executive Officer of something called Barcoding. Now, those ambiguous barcodes that we see on everything from bread to beer, for crying out loud. He's based out of Baltimore, Maryland, and he's in town for the Trust Belt seminar. Jay, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here.
Thank you.
What in the heck? A barcoding business, and you've got this great QR code on the front of your business card, barcodes on the back. We see this technology everywhere. What are you doing?
So our company is a supply chain solutions company. We sell and design and implement barcoding and RFID systems. That RFID stands for radio frequency identification systems. We sell and implement both active and passive RFID. The passive for us is almost exclusively what's called ultra high frequency, which gives you a distance of anywhere between a few inches to up to 30 feet away. We don't typically do near field, which is low frequency. And we also do some what's called low energy Bluetooth, which is a segment of active RFID technology.
All right, you're going to have to break this down for me and everybody else that's listening, because we're going, huh? Well, this sounds highly technical, but it's all a part of our lives every day. Give us some examples of what we're already using that incorporates this stuff.
Well, 60% of all business is between businesses. And we provide the grease to the wheels that make that happen. And to do that, we provide routing application systems and then what's called proof of delivery or route accounting. And these are applications that allow you to go to the site that you need to deliver the goods and scan all the items to assign it to the person and make sure they sign for it. In addition, we do warehouse management systems and inventory control. You know, a lot of people have like R&D facilities, and they may need something that just as a stockroom application to store what they have in stock. Or maybe they have gas masks and other paraphernalia in a firehouse that they need to check out to individuals and check back in. So we provide the tracking systems. Sometimes we do it in an automated fashion, and sometimes it's just very manual.
And many of us would be accustomed to some of these devices as we are entering buildings that are secured or entering our hotel room, those types of things, correct?
Sure. I mean, oddly enough, for a company called Barcoding
right.
Incorporated, we don't do supermarkets and we don't do hotels. But we do hotels in the back end, because whereas most hotels use like some sort of magstripe or RFID to get into the rooms, they have keys for just about every other door lock. And they have keys for the desks and keys for the supply closets and keys for machinery. And so we, for instance, created a unique solution that mounts on the wall for some standard hotel chains that allows them to select and release individual keys for very critical products that they can use for an associated period of time. And then if they don't return the key within a period of time, it sets off a series of escalated messaging. Could be just an email, could be a text message, could be multiple notifications, but the concept is very simple. It would make sure that whoever specifies they need something, they're the one assigned to that key, they use it, and they have to return it, and it's all automated. It looks like a microwave.
And this would be one of those loss control items,
That's
I would
right.
imagine, as well, correct?
Yeah, so we're doing it for not just hotels, but we're actually implementing these, and we're using an ultra-high-frequency version of this, so you can track the keys actually within the facility and if they exit the facility. So we've had, in particular, casinos where we've designed the system to track if they walk out of the casino with their keys, we could set off an alarm. Because, by the way, you're not supposed to walk out with
I
the keys.
I wouldn't imagine, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Jay Steinmetz, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Barcoding Incorporated. They don't do much barcoding in the grocery stores, which I think is fabulous. Jay, you were talking to me off mic about how you track and then can check on very highly valuable equipment pieces in warehouses or other places. Give us that story.
Yeah, that's correct, Mike. So concept-wise, you know, we use barcoding for a lot of the inexpensive products that are being tracked throughout facilities. As you get to a higher value, you start to change the type of technology that would be most appropriate to implement to track advanced products. So we have built some unique solutions, including something, and I gave you an example, where you may have a million square foot warehouse and you may have a bunch of scissor lifts. Well, ironically, what happens a lot of times in facilities is people want the scissor lift when they need it, so they hoard it. They put it behind a rack, they put it underneath, you know, whatever. Where, however you can hide a scissor lift, they figured out how to do it. So we put in low energy Bluetooth, and we have created a crowdsource-based application that tracks, not just allowing to say if Mike wants to use that scissor lift, that he's required to go ahead and scan the barcode or just simply touch his phone to the actual scissor lift that assigns it to him, at which point it also notices that he where he is and that where the forklift or scissor lift or whatever the device is. So, and if somebody else walks by and say he's no longer there, but somebody else walks by and it senses the scissor lift, it will then geolocate where he is and say that's where it's located.
And so this saves time and energy and gets things done. One of the things I asked you off mic as well, Jay, was recessions and how in our business, if our clients on our advertising agency side listen to us and continue their R&D when there is a recession, they will continue to increase market share because so many people cut those kinds of things first.
That's right.
And we've proven it. We've had clients that have had double-digit increases in their business because they kept on with the R&D while other people cut those areas.
Sure.
Your business is somewhat similar to that, isn't
yeah.
it? When economics are bad, people
yeah.
turn to you.
We're counter-cyclical, and we're counter-cyclical because when economics are bad, people look for ways to cut costs, to improve their efficiencies, to reduce the OPEX, to replace it with a CAPEX, a capital equipment expenditure. So we'll put in systems that will replace the need for a body to make the company more efficient so they can expand and grow.
Again, we see barcodes everywhere. We see this technology everywhere. This may be a really silly question, but how many barcodes can there possibly be? Don't you run out of stripes and widths of all of that? I mean, how does that work? No, the answer is no.
I mean, there are different types of barcodes for different types of opportunity or applications. There are different what are called symbologies. Symbologies are like the language of barcodes. So if you looked at the barcode on a Coke bottle, it's the UPC or an EAN.
Right, right.
Universal Product Code. Now, the Universal Product Code is running out of numbers, which they've been able to finagle ways around that. But for the most part, any barcode just consists of a group of numbers. And you can start those numbers with anything you want. You can make them alphanumeric or just numeric. So, if you can, and most of these barcode solutions, in particular the ones that we do, they're what are called closed loop solutions. So nobody else is going to be scanning that barcode except for that company that's using it. So say, for instance, you just want to track your own supplies. You can put your own label on it with your own number, and that number could start with whatever you want it to start with, a prefix of some sort. So there is no real limits as it relates.
When you look out there at the landscape and you're trying to identify your particular demographic, those companies that could utilize your services, what kinds of businesses would that be, or is it all across the board?
We do a lot of warehousing, a lot of inventory control, a lot of large-scale deployments. We also actually stage and deploy, all sorts of mobile devices as part of our solutions. We custom configure the solution specifically to each of the individual company's requirements and really, recase, design the solution from the ground up, not just in the software, but what type of hardware, how it's going to look, how it's going to interface with the consumer or the user, what kind of mobile device management. We have a lifecycle management tool that's all integrated to our platform.
Fascinating stuff. Jay Steinmetz, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for spending some time with us, and welcome to Des Moines from Baltimore. We're grateful that you took part in this conference. Have you learned much here?
It's been a blast. It's really interesting to see the perception or the perspectives of different types of people within the economic development landscape. I think it's been eye-opening for many people as you have different states and different communities
yes.
able to articulate their vision and their problems and their concerns, and I think it's been eye-opening for everybody.
Good stuff. Jay, thanks so very much for joining us and spending some time on the Business News Hour.
Michael, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right. I love.